Coming up on AI Having a Clue. Could you? That's the most horrifying thing I've ever heard.
I think we'll get an Ofcom complaint. Oh, we've got the latest news from the world of AI.
So Anthropic are now, they're now seeking a weapons expert. James's big thing is back. It's a bit scary.
Pre that, everything, there was no slop. And I tackle another listener question.
Let's team up, explore, and make something amazing together.
We can make something great together. It just involves a sharp knife. Honestly, it's a horror film. Hello, welcome. This is AI Haven't a Clue, the podcast where we explore the wild world of AI. I'm George Butler. James Chandler is our AI expert.
Thank you very much indeed.
This is the podcast, which much like Harry Styles' brand new album, Kiss All The Time, Disco Occasionally, is virtually a chart topper, but virtually, is critically acclaimed and is full of us talking about American girls. No, that's American white men in their 50s, the tech bros. Sorry, I got confused. Hi, James.
Chart topper, jaw dropper.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
Slightly not quite accurate. We weren't quite chart topper. I think we were number two the other day.
Good to mention.
Almost a chart topper.
The more I said to people, help us get to number one, the further we fell. So I'm not doing that again.
No, but if you'd like to get us to number one, subscribe, rate, follow, boost the algorithm, share it with friends. How have you been, James?
Yeah, I'm all right. We had a big event at the IAB, our big leadership summit, and there were so many kind of intentional and unintentional things about AI. And I just have loads of just very smart people saying very smart things in my head, some of which I'll probably try and pass off as my own over the course of the next 40 minutes or so.
Who was the most interesting speaker that kind of said something that you really resonated with you?
There were two things. We heard some stats that around 50% of UK businesses don't know whether they've got an AI strategy or not, which is a little bit worrying. And there's a brilliant head of strategy at an agency called Ogilvy, Amelia Turode. She talked about AI and the sort of the journey that you go on with stuff. So she talked about a trail. You know, if you're going to go on this big, say, Machu Picchu trail, you spend ages planning it, and then you get into it and you've got all the kit and you do the climb to the top and you get to the summit and there's a euphoric moment. AI is the equivalent of a helicopter that comes and picks you up at the bottom with no preparation, drops you at the top, you get the picture, helicopter takes you back down. There's no sort of satisfaction from it because you haven't actually done it.
Yeah.
I just thought it was such a good example. More of those to come.
Oh, I like that. So you've been really busy. I've been busy as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been listening on repeat to the new Harry Styles album.
Have you?
So good.
You should have mentioned it.
I should have.
What's the title again? I missed the title.
Kiss All The Time, Disco Occasionally.
Right. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Just sounds a bit AI generated, is it?
You think Harry ChatGPT'd his album title?
There could be M-dash or something in there. I don't know. That's what I'm imagining.
Kiss All The Time, rocket emoji, disco occasionally.
Yeah, glitter ball emoji. Yeah, of course.
All right, let's try this whilst we're here. Hi, chat. Could you please give me some alternative album title suggestions for the new Harry Styles record?
Okay.
Let's see what chat would come up with to rival Kiss All The Time, Disco Occasionally, Disco Emoji. All right, so we've got Golden Hour Again, The Shape of Quiet, Blue, comma, but Warmer.
That's nice. Yeah, that's nice.
Strawberry Cinema, Dancing in the Kitchen, comma, still. And I think my favourite, Banana Milk and Heartbreak.
Lovely.
To be fair, all of them could legitimately be Harry Styles album names.
It's the track listing.
It's the track listing. Anyway, let's move on from Mr. Styles, but let's stay on showbiz because did you see Zendaya and Tom Holland? They've got married, the wedding photos all over the internet
really?
And social. Yeah, all over the social. Have you not seen the photos?
No,
it's them together. In one of them, Tom Holland has his Spider-Man mask in his hand.
Right.
In the wedding photo.
Really?
No, completely AI, but it's taken the internet by storm. Loads of people have completely fallen for it. Zendaya went on Jimmy Kimmel in America the other day and was like, yeah, no, that's AI. But people apparently have been coming up to her for the past week being like, oh, that's such a cute wedding photo.
But they didn't do it. Some clever people did it.
Well, I don't think you have to be that clever these days, do you?
So it goes.
Yeah, so very, very interesting. It was one of my favourite AI stories of the week. Talking of which, on the way all the news from the world of AI, and we've got a bit to catch up on after. We digressed, didn't we, the last couple of weeks with friend of the show, Jack Benjamin. Mm. We've been, if you missed it, we kind of launched a bit of a new series, I suppose you could call it, the stories behind the AI wars. And the first two episodes followed Elon Musk and Sam Altman and their backstory and how kind of their careers led them to launching OpenAI with ChatGPT. It was really interesting. I learned a lot.
Yeah, I did as well. It's kind of surprising in a way how similar they are as people. They're both, I think, narcissists. They both got big egos, but sort of in a sort of a different way. And like, this is a story that we're going to be able to sort of keep telling, and they're constantly having pot shots at each other on social media, which is giving it some oxygen.
Yeah, it's nice that they're feisty with each other, but I thought it was interesting because these two people are like two of the most influential figures on planet Earth, and we know so much about our presidents and our prime ministers and our world leaders, and we know so little about these people that arguably have more impact on our day-to-day lives. So it was for me quite interesting to just to learn a little bit more about these two people that are shaping the world, and I'd like to do more.
Yes,
we should do some more.
People did say to me, when's the regular pod back, and I didn't know if that was a compliment or just wanted.
Oh, it's back next week. Oh,
what we did,
that's a shame, because Jack was good, wasn't he? If there are any other
Who's next, who
could that's what I'm saying, we should throw it open and say if you have any ideas, if there's any AI war stories that you'd like to hear, if it's Anthropic or if it's Mark the Zuck Zuckerberg. Mm.
NVIDIA.
NVIDIA. Oh, no! It's what happens when you say that word. NVIDIA time. NVIDIA time. So yeah, let us know. AIhavingaclue@gmail.com is where you can get in touch with the show, ask a question, etc.
Yes.
If you want your question to go top of the pile, that's one of the benefits to being part of our club at Patreon.
Just one.
Patreon.com/AIhavingaclue. Lots of other things you get as part of that. But that's one of them.
Those t-shirts coming in thrown.
Yep.
Bit t-shirt, of 17 degree weather tomorrow.
I know. It's going to be, you can be repping the iHeartChat t-shirts. Call me biased, but I'd say well worth subscribing. And every week we have our Substack newsletter free to follow, and we give you a bit of an update on what's going on with the world of AI. You can find links to all of that at AIhaven'tAclue.com. Right.
Lovely.
Should we move on and do the news?
I think there's been a bit of news in the last couple of weeks, isn't it?
I'm just looking what we've got to come. It's crazy. Maltbook is something we've talked about a few weeks ago on the show. You may recall, but it's basically a social media network for AI was how you described it, James. It's basically AI chatting to AI. And I think if I'm correct in saying the idea is it's kind of a training ground for these AI on AI conversations for when the time comes that we've all got our own personal AI agents chatting to other people's or other businesses' AI agents, right?
Bang on. You've been listening. This is good.
I listen.
Oh, he's really grown, hasn't he, on this podcast? You're bang on. It sort of looks a bit like Reddit. So if you're familiar with Reddit, then you know what Maltbook is. Meta to acquire Maltbook. Their team are going to move into Meta's Super Intelligence Labs team and going to bring new ways for AI agents to work with people and businesses, is what Meta have said. And I think Mark Zuckerberg has probably long been fascinated with AI on AI. It also throws up a whole bunch of quite obvious things around cybersecurity, things around ethical concerns, should AI be fully autonomous, all those kinds of things as well. It's probably a matter of time when you think about it. I mean, Maltbook, you know, literally launched in January. It's taken, you know, less than 2 months for one of these big giants to kind of jump on it. So I think if it wasn't Meta, it was probably going to be someone else.
But why was Mark the Zuck Zuckerberg so interested in purchasing this business?
I mean, it could be for the very boring fact that it stopped someone else getting it. Because it very, very quickly got lots and lots of oxygen, lots and lots of PR, sort of notoriety as well. People kind of scratching their heads as to how it works. Undoubtedly, agents have got to learn how to work together. And if they have the sort of the test bed, I mean, you would think they're going to progress further than others.
Because there was that thing, wasn't there, about WhatsApp. I think, was it the EU made WhatsApp let other AI agents into the WhatsApp infrastructure? And I guess that is sort of tied to this. That is because AI agents need to communicate with AI agents within our, you know, personal communication. So I guess it's totally all tied, right? And they obviously see this as the inevitable next step. We might not quite be there yet. A lot of people at least might not quite feel comfortable with that, but it feels like it's inevitable now.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, I think you can say what you want about Mark Zuckerberg and Musk and, you know, all these founders. You know, they are kind of visionaries, you know, for a guy in his dorm room at Harvard to sort of foresee what then became Facebook, to think about where the world is going to go with wearables and, you know, even if it's not the metaverse, that kind of thing, you know. He has big ideas and he has a sort of crystal ball that can look into the future. So pretty safe bet for them, I'd say.
Let's stay with the big tech giants. Let's stay with the AI wars for now. And let's talk about Jensen Huang, who is the man in charge of, I'm going to have to say it.
Sorry.
NVIDIA. NVIDIA time. All right. We've done it once. Even I'm like, too many plays. NVIDIA seem to have had a bit of a difficult start to the year. Their stock price has fallen, and there was a kind of a bit of concern that, you know, the world's most valuable company perhaps tied to an AI bubble. But they seem to have kind of had a bit of a bounce back in their share price and kind of general optimism with what they're doing based off what Jason Huang's been saying.
Yeah, and it probably means that they're going to get out of the chips game. So, you know, almost...
But that's their business, right? That's currently their livelihood.
Precisely, and everything needs chips to run. So we talk so much about the software side of things and the various LLMs and the...
So why would they want to get out of the chip game that's made them the world's most valuable company?
Well, the chip bit of it is still big, big money. I mean, he came out and said his estimate is that it's going to be a 1 trillion AI chip opportunity by 2027. That's double, by the way, what the previous forecast was. But he's now saying he wants NVIDIA to evolve from just being a chip maker to a full AI systems provider. So they'll get all of the hardware and then they'll start to get into this sort of new world. That obviously throws up things like Intel, Google, OpenAI, Meta, Anthropic, all of the big names that we know and love on here. They're all investing in inference, which is basically training AI models to run at scale. Can NVIDIA have that same sort of dominance in that world as they can in chips? I mean, kind of remains to be seen. They will be a different sort of business in that space because it is so crowded.
Well, what when we say this world, what do we mean? What full system, full AI systems provider? What is that?
I think it's, you know, as much as the chip game is probably the right game to be in and they don't have a whole bunch of competition in that, invariably, Jensen Huang wants to grow bigger, faster, and wants sort of a slightly bigger piece of the pie with everyone else. So it's probably inevitable. He just doesn't want to stay in his chip lane here.
Do you think there's just an element as well? Like, as I said, they have had a bit of a rough start to the year. They have had a bit of economic uncertainty. Does he just want to slightly change the narrative and bring a bit of a boost to their share price?
You could, I mean...
not being sceptical, but...
The world is a pretty uncertain place. I feel like every week we say that, and it gets even more so. It's not just tariffs, various wars that are going on, various global relationships that keep changing all of the time. Now, to make the hardware, you do need materials to do it. And if a certain material that you get from a certain place suddenly costs you 3 times the price, just being in a game where you need that one material to make these chips could become problematic. So maybe spreading your bets isn't a bad thing in a world that, you know, feels pretty uncertain now.
Let's stay on that uncertainty. Let's stay with one of the big tech players. This happened a week or so ago. Anthropic are suing the US government because they've called them a risk.
Yeah, this was a fast developing story. So the background was that Anthropic are very principled and intentional about how they want their AI to be used. And they didn't want it to be used for unrestricted military use, which is what the Department of Defense wants to use Anthropic for.
So like surveillance, autonomous weapons, that sort of thing.
Drones, all of that kind of thing. So they said, no, we don't want to be part of that. The US government then came out and called them a supply chain risk because they wouldn't give this unrestricted access. Pete Hegseth, who's the, you know, the war guy, defence guy, whatever he is.
I just can't not think of Colin Jost from SNL doing his impression, but anyway.
I think he and probably most of the US administration have been unhappy with this. They went as far as they banned government use of any Anthropic tools. They put a load of pressure on contractors to do the same as well. They then went and did a deal with OpenAI. But, you know, Anthropic, you know, kind of fair play here, have I think stuck to their values. You know, they've always said that they didn't want to be about that. The contract, I imagine, was fairly lucrative and they sort of turned their back on that. So what you saw off the back of that on a consumer point of view was a whole bunch of people saying, actually delete OpenAI and download Claude. And then lots and lots of things posting up on social media. It's like, oh, here's how you basically export everything that you've done in ChatGPT and do it in Claude, because Claude are the good guys and OpenAI are the bad guys.
You see, even AI isn't safe from the divisive world that we live in. So Anthropic are now, they're now seeking a weapons expert to stop misuse.
Yeah, I guess the more you know about it and the more you can put guardrails around this stuff. So yeah, they've said specifically for things like chemical weapons or dirty bombs. You know, other companies are doing the same. OpenAI, they've got specialists in biological and chemical risks. These are very, very high paid jobs, by the way. But I think it all comes back to principles. And we talked about it so much in the Elon Musk, Sam Altman, you know, start of the AI wars thing, about where that company started in terms of principles. It's interesting to see how much it kind of drifts if there's money or there's power or there's kind of influence at play. There's this kind of dual thing with AI, isn't there? On the one hand, it can be used to create dirty bombs. On the other hand, it can do, you know, life-saving heart surgery better than can pass the medical exam better than a surgeon. So it's this sort of incredibly hard thing to get your head around.
It comes back to this, we've had this kind of discussion for months and months. It comes back to the point about you know, how you regulate it, how you if you let it run wild, what the consequences are, and in every industry and in every sector and every part of life, there's going to be those balancing acts of moving things on and accepting that AI and this tech is going to change our lives, but also knowing when we need a bit of human interference to go, that's not right.
Yeah. And war and weapons is such a tough place because, which sounds like an obvious thing to say, but kind of like, if the US doesn't arm itself with the best capability, there'll be another state in the world who will take advantage and will use it. So you can't have like this, oh, let's all pinky promise not to use AI.
It goes back to like that nuclear debate. Like, oh, if we don't have nuclear weapons, then they will, and they'll bomb
us.
Yeah,
exactly. That's where we're at.
Whew, it's a bit scary.
Got anything lighter?
Goodness gracious. No. What about something from Rachel Reeves?
Oh, perfect.
She screams at latitude and all things joy.
Maybe she does at the moment.
Yeah, well, just a quick one on this because we'll wrap up this kind of AI wars thing. They aren't just between the big tech firms. They are, you know, it's international, whether it's war or whether it's economical. Rachel Reeves announced £2.5 billion worth of investment in UK tech to stop tech drifting abroad. I hate to break this to you, Rachel. That shit might well sail now.
She's saying she wants to stop UK tech firms and all of their talent moving abroad, particularly to the US. So she's going to boost the investment that she's making. As you say, £2.5 billion in AI and quantum computing, hopefully.
I mean, can we just touch on that? Because it doesn't really matter where that £2.5 billion is going to be spent, because we talk every week about the AI wars, these big tech firms, investment. £2.5 billion in this sector, in this space, it's nothing, right? It's I know it's a lot of money, but also it isn't.
Well, there might be other things that they can improve as well. So reasons UK firms end up leaving, you know, the funding options are much better in the US than they are here. Fascinating take on this at the event I was at, which is all around UK pension funds and why we can't fund companies as well as the US, but that's probably a different podcast. Things like tax incentives, all that sort of stuff are the reason that companies are going abroad. So the investment, I think, will be welcomed. Her ambition is to make the UK the fastest AI adopter in the G7 and create 100,000 jobs in quantum computing. So
I mean, that's all well and good. Which G7 country wouldn't have the intention of that? I just think there is a slight, for me, And again, I'm being cynical, but there is, it's all talk. And we go back a few months ago, literally 3 or so months ago, and you had the king and the prime minister are entertaining Trump and the Zuck and Sam Altman.
Jensen Huang.
Going, yeah. Oh, we want, you know, all this money from America coming. It's great. All this American investment. Well, I'm not being funny. If you are opening the doors to these Silicon Valley tech giants, yeah, tech is going to drift abroad. It's going to drift to America. What on earth do you expect?
Yeah, it may, when you sort of look at it on a global scale, maybe the 2.5 billion, you know, we're in a world where we're talking about trillions, whether that's XAI or whether it's NVIDIA, maybe 2.5 doesn't quite match up to that. I think it's the right thing to do. I think we often think about where the UK's advantage might be. We've talked about it before. I think on a really good listener question, you've got China, you've got the US. No doubt you have other markets like India, which you can develop for us. We sort of need a USP. We need some sort of narrative. We've got companies like DeepMind. We've got the Alan Turing Institute.
What's our USP? Tax havens? Is that? I mean, that's what it's sounding like our USP is going to be.
Well, wait and see. I think, you know, Rachel Reeves is looking for a good news story as well. We're not talking about a sort of fairly downbeat economy or sort of inflation and all those other things. So, yeah, she's probably relieved to be out of the news for a bit, back in it for the good reasons, perhaps.
Okay, I know that's been a bit negative. A couple of nice, interesting stories of artificial intelligence doing something positive at quite a local level. AI is helping in the northeast of England to reduce traffic.
Yeah, Tees Valley's AI-powered traffic digital twin has reduced delays and sped up bus journeys, reporting an almost 14% reduction in delays over 6 months. That feels pretty good.
Not bad.
It uses GPS data, roadside sensors and AI predictions to anticipate traffic problems and adjust traffic lights across 11 hotspots.
That sounds like delightful news for the folk of Tees Valley.
That's not the accent in Tees Valley, by the way.
What? That wasn't an accent.
I think we'll get an Ofcom complaint about that.
Well, I didn't do an accent. Why are you coming for me?
Tees Valley. It's all up north is happening. Did we have something about Hull? Where were those robot...
Barnsley, the robot Deliveroo dogs, or
Tees
something
Valley,
like that.
It's not happening in London, my friend. Right. It is all happening up north.
There's another fairly northern AI use case here in West Yorkshire.
That is northern.
It's pretty northern.
Christ.
It could be more northern. AI is unlocking intelligence from control room calls. What does that mean?
West Yorkshire Police have launched an AI-powered post-call analysis to extract intelligence from historical call and control. So I guess when you call up 999 and all of that stuff gets recorded, it's now in a database. It can be searchable. It can be, you can give it prompts, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, because I know for years and years, there's been notes made by people taking the calls. They log those notes. And I suppose to some degree, they're useful. And sometimes, you know, you're too busy responding to the call and the notes probably aren't very thorough. And I guess now it can go through all those recorded calls and it can instantly take things and learn things from them.
There's some interesting things. I think, you know, training is probably a big thing. How would you have handled it differently or something like that? Clearly, you know, we talk about meetings and, you know, the AI jumping and doing your meetings. This is kind of what it's doing on there. I wonder if they're having to ask people if they're going to do it. Which
it's a bit scary, isn't it? If they've got millions of hours of recorded calls and all of a sudden AI is just accessing them all, hearing
quite
them
sensitive
all.
Sensitive stuff.
They're like so, I mean, you can't get more sensitive. And, you know, sometimes you might, you know, sometimes you might not want those things shared. You might regret making cool, you know, that there's a lot to break down.
There's some interesting things they're doing, some key features. Repeat caller analysis. Those buggers who keep calling up from probably phone boxes.
Yeah.
And doing little prank things. That's not good. Hidden vulnerability detection. So, you know, often the example is someone will phone up and try and order a pizza. And that is code for, you know, they're in a vulnerable position they can't talk about. So, you know, that's pretty good. Pilots have shown that this new system identified 21% more calls with hidden vulnerability. That's a really positive thing. That's a really, really positive thing.
A good news story. I have recently watched the first series of The Capture.
The Capture.
Have you ever seen it?
I've seen ads for it.
So they've just released a new third series after a lot of years on BBC iPlayer. But I think it first launched in like 2017 or 2018, a long time ago, kind of before artificial intelligence.
What's the premise of it?
Well, this is why I bring it up, because in 2018, 19, whenever it was released, it was this kind of slightly sci-fi idea that the police could monitor every CCTV camera, see what we're doing, but that footage could be faked with ease. So you could basically deep fake a situation recorded on CCTV. And obviously now it's very much happening and it's kind of quite prominent and prevalent. So it's a good watch. I really enjoyed it, but I need to watch the new series set in obviously the AI era and see how that changes and see how it's different. But this isn't an Empire podcast. This is not Mark Kermode and Simon Mayo, even though we could see Simon Mayo from this building.
There we go.
Mayo, we're coming for you. He's big in AI, Simon Mayo.
Is he?
Oh my goodness.
He doesn't
actually do his radio show. It's a synthetic voice.
It's a clone.
Yeah, all of those listeners to Greatest Hits Radio, they think Simon Mayo is chatting. No, it's not. He's not there. He's in Barbados.
Is he? Trotters up.
Honestly, yeah.
Wow.
It's a bot. It's a robot that sat there and yeah. Incredible.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
Good on him.
Yeah, I mean, his audience are clueless.
Ken Bruce as well? Is he doing the same?
It's K-Bot. It's not K Bruce, it's K-Bot. Yeah. Yeah. Ken's in the Cayman Islands right now.
Ken's in Cayman.
Yeah. K-Bot, love it.
Oh, Janine Wright was right all along.
Just to clarify, if any of my employers are listening, that was a joke. Or was it?
We've seen in flesh and blood. Ken is here.
No, Simon May is looking at me now. He can see me. I don't know. Yeah, he's not very happy. Right, let's move on very quickly. Talking of AI impersonators, Grammarly, they pulled their author impersonation tool.
Very, very nice. Yeah, they've disabled its AI expert review feature. It mimicked the writing styles of real authors like Stephen King and Carl Sagan. Some big backlash for Grammarly here. They were using the writers' names and also all the reputations and stuff that comes with it without their consent, which prompted Scale Surprise, a multi-million dollar class action lawsuit.
So they thought they could just rip off Stephen King's writing style and get away with it.
I wonder if there is a difference, though, between like a voiceover artist, I'm sort of thinking friend of the show, Graham Potter, or Peter Dixon, voice of the X Factor, and a writing style. Like, are they comparable, do you think?
They're different, because I think, you own, the voice is very personal, and it's very much part of who you are and what you represent. And if you lend your voice to something, you're selling something. Clearly, if you a writing style, it is different. But it's also their own property, their own intellectual property. Mm. So I do think it's different, but I also think it sits under the IP bubble. But here's the thing, right? If you prompted AI to create you a song that sounded like a Harry Styles song.
Here he is again.
You know, he's relevant right now.
Some sort of commission. It's like the fifth time you've mentioned it.
I don't think Harry needs a commission from AI, having a clue. I think he's doing okay without us. I don't know. I'm not sure. But let's say you prompted AI to generate a song that sounds like a Harry Styles song. It would do that. It wouldn't give you a Harry Styles song, but it could give you a tune that sounds similar. Styles song.
But you could go and...
But that's a similar thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I just wonder whether writing styles are kind of so unique. Yes, I kind of guess they are.
I know what you mean, though. I know what you mean. I think there's one thing, like ripping off Stephen King's It or like ripping off Stand By Me.
Yeah.
But there is... It is slightly different. You know, you might have a unique writing style, but like, I don't know. It is a bit like...
I think there's levels.
And also that kind of thing, I guess, has been prevalent in culture for... many a year, you know, like in music, you know, Noah Kahan, potato, patata. Yes. His sound is very similar to Mumford and Sons. And that, you know, so I guess there are many examples of Richard Osmond, you know, maybe people go, well, it's Agatha Christie. So I guess there are examples of this kind of being prevalent in culture. It's probably more the fact, right, that that Grammarly are using the brand of Stephen King to attract people in and make money without giving Stephen King. You know what I mean? It's more about that than actually mimicking the writing style.
And you're right. It's explicit, isn't it? I don't think Richard Osman explicitly goes to try and write in an Agatha Christie style. He's influenced by that.
Yeah.
Whereas this is quite explicit. And the lawsuit argues, actually, that it's unlawful to commercialise someone's identity without permission. And they make the case that writers shouldn't have to opt out to protect their work. It should be apparent that you can't use it. And if you want to use it, you've got to ask permission. Again, not to keep going, I'm not on a commission for Gay and Potter, but to go back to that case, they basically took her voice, did what they want, you know, and they sort of asked for forgiveness later rather than permission before, which seems a sort of right and proper way to do it.
For those that are new to AI Haven't a Clue, genuinely highly recommend jumping back to like one of the first episodes we did. Well, early doors in late May, we had Gay and Potter on. Truly horrifying and fascinating story that we reference a lot because it is, it's kind of a bit of a landmark, you know, touch point for us.
And she got in touch and said, look, I work with you all the time. I think this Iona, it sounds like it's you. I basically went to look at it, was horrified. It was on their website in a very commercial way. But as soon as I opened it and I saw this flame-haired avatar, my stomach dropped. The name Iona, I felt sick. I thought, oh my God, please no. Then I played the video and I heard myself say, please mind the gap when alighting from this train. And I thought, oh my God. Unfortunately, Reed Speaker have picked on the wrong person.
Talking of previous episodes, we had guests on from Set at 16.
Yes.
Who are this organisation that basically want to ban smartphones for young people.
Yeah.
But they also have a bee in their bonnet about AI toys.
Yeah.
Following on from that, AI toys for children apparently misread emotions and can respond inappropriately according to new research.
Yeah, the research is urging for tighter regulation of these AI-powered toys, which are marketed at toddlers after testing interactions with really young children. We're talking, you know, 3, 4, 5, with the AI toy Gabbo.
Gabbo? That's literally like something from a horror film. Hello, I am Gabbo the Toy, here to help whatever you need. Could you? That's the most horrifying thing I've ever heard.
It's not.
Who named that toy Gabbo? We need to find that person and fire them from their job.
It's always the names with him,
Gabbo,
isn't it?
James, it's, are you just telling me Gabbo isn't
Gabbo's
truly terrible?
Fine. Gabbo,
Gabbo. Hello, it's Gabbo the
Gabby.
Toy.
Gabby, it's close to Gabby. Gabriella.
Gabbo is a frightening name. It's giving me like Scream 8 vibes. It's giving me like the baddie from Toy Story 10. I don't like it. I don't know if you're on, if your mic's up, Molly, but you have made a very good point. There is an evil puppet in The Simpsons called Gabbo.
I don't think that was in their mind when they're designing it. Regardless, the study they've done found that children struggle to communicate with the toy. It often misheard them, talked over them, or responded inappropriately to emotions like sadness and affection.
Gabbo sounds very similar to my mum.
Does it? I don't hear you.
And I can make that joke because she doesn't listen to this podcast.
Well,
and that's because she is not responding appropriately to my emotions and my affections.
Your wants and needs.
Hi, mum.
These things, basically, the research is saying need to be supervised. You need to read the privacy policies. You've got to think about the body of work at an academic level that is happening around some of the developmental impacts. Because as we know, and I think as we knew from the guests that came on, not really clear at the moment what those longer-term impacts could be.
I could have told you all these issues would exist simply after hearing that the name of the toy was Gabbo the Toy, AI toy, Gabbo.
We need to get a Gabbo, I think.
Bloody don't.
And then
terrified.
We could see if we could distinguish from George's excellent voiceover of Gabbo and Gabbo itself. Maybe me and Gabbo could do a listener question or something. Let's get Gabbo on.
Gabbo's replacing me. Well, I'm replacing you with the Simon Mayo.
Yeah, nice. Voice bot. I'm happy with Mayo. Yeah.
Right.
Wait. Do you want to hear Gabbo?
Oh yes, yes.
Have you found Gabbo's voice?
I've found Gabbo's
you
voice.
You have not. This is genuinely not a bit. We have not prepared this. We have not heard this.
Life
all right,
action.
Let's do this. Okay.
Hi. I'm Gabbo,
no!
A bright-eyed robot buddy who loves learning as much as I love laughing.
You're kidding!
I'm built for curiosity, powered by play, and always eager to dive into whatever adventure you dream up next. Let's team up, explore, and make something amazing together.
Gabba, you can fuck off. That's horrifying. We can make something great together. It just involves a sharp knife. Honestly, it's a fucking horror film.
God.
That's gross. And I knew it was going to sound like it. I feel so vindicated right now.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Right, moving very quickly on from that horrible, horrible toy. You know what? This is my favourite story of the week, so it's the perfect place to end this week's mammoth amount of AI news. There is, I hear, James, going to be a logo that symbolises that something is AI free.
Well, there's a bunch of these that are kicking around already. Different organisations in different parts of the world have got this kind of human-made or AI-free label, which they're wearing with lots and lots of pride. Lots of writers that I'm seeing on Substack, you know, are making a point of saying, you know, this is 100% human written. So it's become this sort of unique selling point, I guess, being more human, which I think we've talked about before. The pendulum swings too far and we feel like everything's slop. Actually, you're giving me that look. Okay.
You know what I'm going to say here? Let's rewind back a few weeks. And I made the point about milk and how you go into the supermarket and you have milk labelled as organic, your milk labelled as free range. And I said, well, could we not have an AI world where a music song is labelled AI?
Brilliant.
And you went, that's ridiculous. Well, I guess it's happening.
It was the Will I Am. I think it's Will I Am's milk story, which
well,
you're now saying
that's
is your story.
By the by, whether I took
story.
It Will I Am or not.
So basically, there's a bunch of initiatives at the moment, not by AI, AI free, proudly human. So there's a bit of confusion at the moment. What it needs is a single standard. Basically, everyone using the same thing. So, you know, like we have, like you're describing with the various, you know, sugar, fat, traffic light system thing. The focus is obviously on creative industries, books, films, music, where, you know, Gen AI is basically coming up with stuff faster and we're getting lots and lots of this slop. Experts are saying that AI is ubiquitous and spectrum-based, so establishing a true AI-free standard is very complex and requires rigorous verification, not just badges. So yeah, nice idea on the milk, but it's more complicated than that.
Okay, well, I still think there is something in this. I still think there is something in it where you have a world of AI-generated content, which people have a right to make. We add that artist in...
Elias Marrow.
Elias Marrow.
Yeah.
Very proudly banging on about his AI art, which I still think is ridiculous. But you've got people have a right to make it, and also people have a right to go, sod this. This is real. This is where you get your human connection from. And I think it could be very important in the coming years that we have a way to show it. I don't think Not By AI or Proudly Human are quite the right names. So maybe, you know, once again, we're going to throw this open to everybody listening. Answers on a postcard. What should we call this? What should we badge this AI-free category? What should we need a catchy name, and I don't think we've landed it yet. So next week, we're going to come back with your ideas, maybe some of our ideas. We're going to do some show and tell. AIHaven'tAClue@gmail.com.
Well,
how you get in touch.
I love our listeners.
Yes.
I would say that. It didn't do great on the emoji challenge, I must say.
No. Well, I still think the poo emoji idea was quite a good one.
Look, what one thing here, though. So it's a bit binary, isn't it? If you've got, like, it's fully human or it's AI created. What about the blur in the middle where someone's created something and they've sort of used AI as a sort of sparring partner to come up with something? What are you badging that?
Well, look, I think there is a difference because...
Semi-skimmed.
Well, potentially. But also, you know, could you write a piece of music originally with using an AI tool to help you efficiently produce it, but not create it. So are you saying in those circumstances, or are you talking about where it's like a mesh of AI creativity and human creativity?
Let's say I'm a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
And my name's Viv Ford and I'm riding around on a bike on my TikToks.
With all these throwback
guests references. I'm just assuming everyone who listens to us has listened to episode one.
If not, go back. Please listen to them.
She talked about basically giving prompts to chat and various LLMs to get all the bad stuff out so she can create the good stuff. So in a way, AI has contributed to her creative process, although it's created by a human. Would you want to be flagging that?
I think that's fine. I think if you were using AI as a tool...
Right.
I'm with it because it's her jokes that she's writing. It's someone's song that they're
and
writing.
With the help of AI.
It's a bit like saying if someone's written a book and they run it through an editor who has given them ideas about things, Does that not count as their book? Of course it does.
We need another label for editors then.
But if the editor was writing the book, it becomes the editor's work. Much like if the AI was writing the thing, it becomes the AI's work. So I do think they're different. I do think you can humanly create something, use AI tools to make that humanly created thing better, and it still not be an AI creation.
What if you used Gen AI to create an image and then you got some of that toilet paper that you have in primary schools, it's like tracing paper, and you trace it and then pass it off as your own? Just think about that. Yeah, don't answer immediately, but
what
just
you get up to in your free time has nothing to do with me. No, I think that's a very, there are interesting, I guess there are a few, but I think they fall in the cracks. Like, I do think that there it's a very thin column where they overlap, you know.
Yes.
I think there is not a huge amount of examples, you know. For example, I suppose a rap artist could generate a beat through AI, and then create
spit some bars, okay,
Over the top of it. Where does that sit? So yeah, there are those examples where you go, where does that lie? And that is quite nuanced.
And broadly, labels might be helpful.
Okay. I feel like that is a debate that we could, you know, there are, we haven't got necessarily all the answers, but
or all the time, quite frankly.
No, that's very true. I tell you what we do have time for. Your big thing.
Oh, lovely segue. Got two for you this week.
Is it AI time bots? Because I hear they're really great. Invite me into your home and maybe into your bedroom. Just don't leave me by the kitchen knives.
What? Always sorry, with the sorry. Knives. Brilliant one that I've been enjoying, an Instagram account, Old Days Football, which basically takes classic football moments and it reworks them using AI. So you've got stuff like the point of view of an opposition team who played Man United, that brilliant 1999 Champions League winning team, and the player is like shaking the hands of each player, and it's kind of recreated through AI. So the reason why it's brilliant is, unlike Matt Reconstructs History, which I also love, that is just pure creation from AI.
Yeah.
This is great because it's using AI to, because it only happened in 1999, we've got loads of footage, but it's sort of filling in the cracks, giving different perspectives. If you're into football, it's absolutely phenomenal. It just feels really magical.
All right, I'm going to check this out.
Yeah, do. Second one, you'll love this, Slop Evader.
Oh, yeah. Good name.
It's a good name. It's a search shortcut with a hard cutoff date. So basically, you can add it on to your browser if you want to avoid AI slop. It searches the web for content posted before ChatGPT's public release in November 2022.
So you don't see anything that's happened in the last 4 years?
Basically, so pre that, everything, there was no slop because Gen AI wasn't into consumer consciousness. It wasn't creating stuff. So you just have a very slop-free experience. Pretty outdated experience. But if you want slop-free and you want to invade it, Slop Invader is your friend.
That's, it's a bit strange. I mean, as a Nottingham Forest fan, you know, if I was to use Slop Invader, well, I wouldn't know that we were in the Premier League.
No, you are kind of playing catch up on lots of things.
I mean, there is, I mean, you know, you might Google hip hop songs.
Might do.
Goodness knows.
Yeah.
You don't want to get P. Diddy popping up. You know what I mean? There are things
that
maybe you should stay up. You know, you could Google information about the royal family that just isn't, you know, you want to keep up to date with these things.
He was still Prince Andrew before 2022.
Exactly.
So, yeah, shock. Imagine living in a world where the last sort of 3 to 4 years is missing.
All your information.
It'd be kind of weird, wouldn't it?
It's quite bizarre.
Someone do it for a week and let us know how you get on.
Shall I do it?
I think you need to add Slop Evader. Yeah.
Wow.
Do it.
But then I wouldn't be able to hear Harry Styles' new album.
There it is again.
And that would be a shame.
Is it that good?
Listen, it's a bit like saying, did Shakespeare write classics? Yes, of course.
I get it. I get the Taylor thing, but I don't get, you know, the hysteria. What's his, he's a marathoner, isn't he?
Oh,
what's
yeah.
his fastest
you
time?
Always run, why do you always bring it back to running?
What's his? I'm just trying to think it's what his fastest time is. He's gone under 3 hours. What was it? I think he did 2:59 in Berlin, didn't he? 2:59 is quick though. But 2:57, is it? So,
yeah. Wake up, George! It's Gab all the time!
We've got to get him in the studio.
What, Gab all the time?
Yes!
Not if you want to live. Not if you want to live, mate. Right. We should get Gabba to ask a listener question. Talking of which, this is the point in the show where we hear your brilliant listener questions. You can send them in at aihaven'taclue@gmail.com. If your question is answered, you win yourself an AI Having a Clue t-shirt. Come on. Mm. And if you want your question to go top of the pile, well, subscribe to our Patreon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Some might say that's not fair, but...
There's some good stuff on there. Some good bonus stuff as well. James, Under the Bonnet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Honestly. Right, we have a question that has come in. I don't have, there is no name to this question.
Anon.
It's anon, but it's a good question, so we're going to answer, take it on anyway.
Where is it in the t-shirt?
Well, I don't know. Unless someone needs to message in being like, that was my question.
Yeah, okay.
Then anybody could say that. We're in a conundrum here.
A real pickle.
Well, you know what? Let's crack on with the question anyway. Yeah. We'll try and figure out who it's from. The question says, hello. Hi.
Hi, yeah.
I don't know your name, but hi. As is exam season, is it exam season? Well, I guess we're moving into exam season.
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, I don't miss exams.
Got AI now, haven't you? So.
Well, you do. Listen to this question, right. James. As it's exam season, have you ever had a look at the AI tutor offerings for GCSE and A-levels? It's a huge business! Exclamation mark. People aren't bothering with tutors and revision guides, etc. All of those businesses are at threat as people turn to companies like Medly.ai. Mm. I was wondering if they are any good. For the same price as half an hour tutoring, you can get access to unlimited content for a month. So, James, what are we saying?
Well, I was looking into this. It is a pretty, very real, very big business, actually. So these AI tutors, they're decent, but I'm not entirely convinced they're a replacement for proper human tutors. Let me tell you why. I think what they are brilliant at, which is almost always the case with AI, they're very good at explaining things over and over. They can give you loads of practice questions. They can tell you where you're going to get the marks from. I think if you're a very motivated student, that's pretty good. It's basically just an infinite number of questions that it can ask. You know, it's never going to get tired. It's never going to get cross, all the rest of it. And the pricing, as the person mentions here, the pricing is incredible. So for the cost of half an hour with a human tutor, you could basically get a whole month on subscription. So I think Medly AI is around £15 a month, and that's unlimited. So yeah, it's no surprise that people are playing with it and switching. As with anything, I think with AI, there's limits, isn't there? You know, AI doesn't really understand when you're struggling. It doesn't know how to reframe something so you could understand it better. I think a good human tutor can look at your work and objectively go, you know, you've misunderstood this and I'll try and, you know, frame it for you in a different way. AI is just good at re-explaining things. I think flexing style with people so they can understand things. I hated maths. I had the most incredible maths teacher who, one, was incredibly patient, and two, she would just try different ways of trying to explain things to me until I got it. Mrs. Woods.
Not that good a teacher.
Mrs. Woods.
Mrs. Woods, pick up Mrs. Woods.
Yeah, she was superb. It doesn't do that other thing that humans can do. So I think accountability is a big thing in this. It doesn't do pressure, doesn't do structure, it doesn't account for it, it's not going to chase you. If you're slacking off, it kind of doesn't know. So I think any sort of coaching in life, that could be running, it could be life coach, it could be personal training. The accountability bit, the fact you've got to show up and justify whether you've done something or not, I think is really important. AI is not going to do that. So I think, you know, we're seeing a similar pattern with AI, whether it's design or it's copywriting, it could be customer support, research. It's always the low end stuff. Revision guides, example questions. They're the things that are under pressure. I actually think human tutors, for reasons we've talked about earlier in the pod with creativity, are going to become incredibly valuable and probably worth paying a bit more for.
What's wrong with a good old CGP revision book?
They're good, those, aren't
they? They're great. Also, completely factual. Whereas we know AI isn't always truthful. It's not, or it doesn't always get the facts right. It can make things up.
Yeah.
big flaws. If you go into your exam and, oh, goodness, you know, you just follow what you've read from chat and then you spit something out there, it's a load of rubbish.
Well, I think there's this other debate going around, isn't there, which is, are we just teaching children how to pass exams, or are we genuinely giving them knowledge and practical application of things? And I think AI could, you know, drill you on how to pass the exam and get, you know, the exact right amount of marks in certain things. I think in some cases could be great. I think in others, I think sort of teaching children, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Never thought I'd say this, but I feel like humans are pretty good at that.
My cousin's at secondary school. I've just texted him and said, do you have a tutor or an AI tutor?
Mm.
He's replied.
Okay.
He says, yes, I do have an AI tutor.
Really?
Yeah. I said, well, who are they? What are their name? Came back and said, they're called Gabbo.
Oh.
Up next, we're going to do culinary revision in the kitchen with sharp knives.
Oh, it's a lot. I'm sorry if you've got this far. I'll have a chat with him before next week, but it's...
Gabbo.
Gabbo. Maybe it's Gabbo.
Gabbo.
Could be Gabbo.
That's the French version.
Gabbo.
Gabbo. Owen. And... on that note,
that's it, is it? C'est brilliant.
C'est fini.
Well done, everyone.
we're very grateful to Team AI Having a Clue, led massively by Molly Carter. We want to say a big thank you to everyone who has been listening. We want to say thank you to Gabbo and to Simon Mayo's voice bot.
Thank you.
Do check us out on Substack if you want to get a weekly update. You can also catch us on all the socials. If you would like, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to say this.
Here we go.
I'm grateful to everyone for listening.
Yeah.
If you made it this far in the show, you are a dedicated, loyal listener, or you are bored and you actually just forgot to... it's just playing in the background. But let's say you are a dedicated and loyal listener.
Yeah.
We're so grateful. But also, last week, we got to number 2 in the charts. Now, look, that's great. Boop, boop. It's an achievement. I'm very proud of that. But we wanted to get to number 1. And we didn't get... we didn't get there. So all I'm going to say is, if you are dedicated and loyal... why not subscribe?
Why not?
Why not rate us?
Why not?
Go on Apple Podcasts.
What's
and,
stopping
put
you?
Put a review in. And maybe we will get... No, we don't care about charts, do we?
No.
No. We don't care. We don't care.
It's nice to get close, though.
We do
it?
Care. We would love to get to number 1. We should probably say goodbye, shouldn't we?
Yeah, we should.
Okay. We'll catch you next time. If you're still listening... Stay curious!